All right, let's kick it up on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Toronto Maple Leaf, our edition of our program. In about 35 minutes, we'll welcome in Brad May, former NHLer, Stanley Cup champion, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz. And in today, Sammy's nephew, Ben.
Yeah, he's behind.
Everybody wave to Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Thanks for joining us, pal.
Thanks for joining us, pal.
Can't even see me behind the big TV.
Glad you're here. Ben brought the Leafs some luck last night, ending a two-year drought against the Boston Bruins during the regular season. The Leafs with three goals on the power play and going 6-for-6 on the penalty kill. A perfect night for the Toronto Maple Leafs,
a
JB.
A special teams masterpiece. Long all, in the works.
And all it took was the best goal scorer on planet Earth to miss the game.
Is that where we're starting with why the Leafs are so good without Austin Matthews? Is that where you really want to start?
I think it is fascinating how much different they are without Austin Matthews and how much different the game is.
Okay,
I don't want to say they're better. I would never say that.
Okay, then don't different. Say that they're better or worse. Tell me how they're different.
It's just, I think, a natural thing when a team loses a star that other stars elevate their game. You've seen it forever. Look at what Malkin did with Crosby out. Look what Dreisaitl does when McDavid misses. It's just Mitch Marner, unbelievable last night. Willie Nylander, unbelievable. Guys just rise up. They play differently. They know their roles. It's a different look. It's just a weird thing.
Are you
thing.
Buying that?
Yeah. You know, I think if you're looking for like direct examples of what's different, I don't think Morgan Rielly shoots that puck if Matthews is on the flank. Like, I think it's like Morgan knows that he's like option C and he'll just give it back to Matthews and let Matthews figure it out from there. We're actually shooting it from the point, if you believe this or not, a pretty effective power play strategy. So I think guys feel a little bit more like, well, he's not here to do it, so maybe I can.
So what you're telling me, in essence, is that all these years he's been scoring like 69 goals and 60 plus goals, it's been a terrible mistake by the rest of the team looking for him every game. That's what you're telling me.
No, I think you reworked what we said greatly. To put it in very different language.
You tell me what you're saying.
They'd have been way worse without him, and he's a great goal scorer, but a couple games at a time here, they're able to be great without him, for sure.
And the reason is because they're not looking for him.
I don't know. What do you think, Kip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
I think it may be that simple, that often they feel compelled to get him the puck. And last night, they didn't.
Yeah. I think as simple as that. I don't think there's any.
I got to tell you, if I was playing on a line with Austin Matthews, I'd probably try to get him the puck a lot,
probably
too.
Pretty good idea. Probably goes in more that way than it would over a year than not passing it to him.
It's just, it's funny to me. And I'm not even going to say that. But I don't dread the few games he misses a year with Austin Matthews. Like, I know that they have enough star power in the way they play. Like, that was a borderline system win last night in the way they played.
There's a thing where, like, a player goes out, and it's not even an elite player, but someone gets bumped up a line. Say Max Domi goes up or whatever. Yeah. Pontus Holmberg goes up, and they're awesome for, like, two, three games. And then it's four or five games.
3 weeks?
All of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's a reason they're not there all the time. It's not sustainable. But in bursts,
exactly,
it can work.
And you get awesome goaltending, too. That helps.
I mean, there's a lot, too, last night. Matthew Nye's awesome night from him on the power play. That makes a big difference. Where do you want to go?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Whatever Austin's dealing with, and I hear it's not his wrist.
That's good.
Do you give him another night off? They got back-to-backs Friday, Saturday. Do you want to see Austin back? We're seeing Connor McDavid back way sooner than what we thought. If Austin's ready to go, do you want to give him Friday night? Would you like to see the Leafs play one more game without him?
Selfishly, with a man with lower bowl tickets to Friday night's game against the Red Wings,
wow.
I would love him to play on Friday night, selfishly, but for the good of the team, he could sit again.
Can I remind you, you can't afford lower bowl tickets to the Leafs.
Kippy's the king of free.
Kippy, that's why I ain't paying, brother. Shout out my boy Jeff. Let's go for my boy Jeff.
So, would you want to see one more game without him?
You know, I don't have the x-rays in front of me. So I don't know. I feel like it's either both or neither. Like if he's okay to go and try, it's not going to make it worse, then go and try.
I'd like to see him take Friday night off and then come back Saturday if he feels well.
One extra day is going to make a difference?
I think it could be on the side of caution right now. But I also want the team to play one more good game without him and then really understand that when he comes back, that however they feel with him out of the lineup, they can feel just as good with him in the lineup.
Yeah.
And if it means that he has a few less looks or a few less shot attempts, which he constantly leads the team in, then it's okay. Maybe they got to find a happy medium when he's in the lineup of passing him the puck and when they don't pass him the puck.
For sure. I think who was it? It was McCabe. McCabe said something to the effect of, you know, we need to maintain that sort of mindset when he is in the lineup because, yeah, they've had a pretty good record with him out, no doubt about it.
Do we want to go to Berube?
Sure.
Let's go to Berube on winning without their captain, Austin Matthews.
You know, we moved Max up. That line went against the Pastrnak line and Marchand, and they did a good job. I thought that they checked them well and kept them on the outside for the most part and did a good job. So it was a real good team effort by everybody. Like, you know, our penalty kill was really good. You know, we used, you know, I used Kampf and Marner a lot and Holmberg. They got a lot of minutes on the PK tonight. They did a good job for us.
I totally agree with him with David Kampf. He had a more hell of a night. Important on that PK.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he's back in the good books after last night.
That would be a big development for them. If they could find a way to get him involved and as a part of this, just, win over Berube.
It just seems like...
He played 16-23 last night.
I know. And it just seems like you can't get it all, right? You can't have it all. If it's Kampf that's all of a sudden in, Holmberg's out.
Yeah.
If Holmberg's in, it's McMahon that they're pushing. And it just seems like it always comes at someone else's expense.
Yeah.
And right now, Kampf's the man.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, I think that's really important for them. My article today on Sportsnet is about Knies and about how for the last however many years, the Leafs have not... We talk about Team A and Team B. I started the article by talking about on Real Kipper and Board, we talk about Team A and Team B and how the guys first came in the league, the core guys, and it was Kadri, JVR, and Bozak, right? But the core wasn't really ready to be the core yet. Like, it wasn't quite there. Then they had Zach Hyman, but that was before Hyman was kind of this Hyman. Zach Hyman.
Yeah.
The most points he had with the Leafs was 37. He had 37 and 33 the next year before Edmonton. And then after that, the next best player they've had was Michael Bunting. And Michael Bunting had 63 points and 49 points. And then...
Running shotgun with...
With the best line on the team. And that's, you know, so they've just never even had a guy. They had Ryan O'Reilly in playoffs for the 1 year, but regular season they haven't. Knies has a chance to be a 30-goal guy, does he not? I mean...
Oh, 100%.
And like, so that's a big development for them, having one more guy.
It is.
It's funny, like when we first started talking about this, and I was scoffing at the Kipper comparisons when he was like, you know, Slavkovsky, Byfield, all these guys, and you watch him play, you're like, yeah.
Might be his
guy. Yeah, he's there.
Pay attention to me, okay? Just don't stand there looking pretty in an Owen Sound cap or, you know?
But listen.
Tune in.
Listen to me.
I do listen to you, but sometimes you've been known to get a little bit excited about some guys' contracts, and I thought you were getting a little bit too excited about that, but you saw it early, and I am starting to realize how crucially important Matthew Knies is to this team's success.
Mm-hmm. And crucial to the power play. Let's Big go time. To Craig Berube, head coach, on his now hot power play.
Yeah, it was very good, I thought. You know, shot a puck from the point, screens, you know, another shot, screen, goal. Pretty simple. I mean, but I thought they moved it around well. You know, even the first one, I thought Mitch made a great play to Knies back door, just missed it. You know, would have been a goal. But, no, they did a great job. Special teams were huge tonight. PK was great. Goalie was great.
Cue the Kyle Dubas drop. Well, everything's great.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
So, thank you.
What did you see from the power play?
You know, I'm of two minds of this, that sometimes when it's not going well, you have to do what Berube's talking about. You have to have bodies at the net. You have to get pucks there, whatever. But that, to me, it worked last night, right? Nylander banks went in off a skate. We look at the results and go, it went great. You know, that to me is what you do when you're the 15th most talented team in the league or below, and you say, we just got to do the right things, and hopefully we get bounces, and hopefully, look at Tampa Bay and their power play. They're not throwing hope plays.
Yeah.
And Edmonton Oilers didn't end up with their stats as hope guys, and the Leafs in the past have not either. They've had very high-ranking power plays using their talent. So I would hate to have all this talent and then reduce it to, like, let's be the bang it and hope we get rebounds team. But it worked last.
And
you just got to see a few go in, though.
Right.
For sure. 100%
agree. Morgan, great shot, but we seldom see a shot like that get to the net cleanly like that.
What is the percent?
And Nylander's bounced off of a Boston Bruin in front of the net. So they finally got some puck luck, but nothing was really like. It's not like last night completely turned a corner to say now they're going.
Right.
And they still have the dilemma of what's it look like? Is it one defenseman like Morgan last night and four forwards? Yeah. Or is it going to be on an occasion five forwards? Is it going to be a mixture of both? But when it's not five forwards, like it's crystal clear for me that like John Tavares is not on it anymore. The new presence in front of the net, the first guy I'm penciling in front of the net is Matthew Nyes.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely agree.
When you get when they get to game one of the playoffs, and we're all assuming they'll be there, and it's a tighter Atlantic, but we'll assume that they'll get there. You know, the top unit is whoever you want. If Oliver Ekman-Larsson or Morgan Rielly on the top unit with the three stars and Matthew Nyes in front of the net, right?
Yeah. You know, I if you watch those three goals last night, the Rielly one goes in. Nyes is, you know, pushing his ass into the stick of, that's
Carlo.
Not play well, Brandon Carlo. Yeah. And Carlo can't manage him. And then he's trying to defend. Carlo's got him again on the Nylander goal. And then Carlo in the third one, the one Nyes scores, he's like, I can't move this guy. I'm going to try to front the shot and leaves Nyes alone. Like, Nyes is creating all of that just by standing in one part of the ice.
And
by the way, Bunting used to stand there too, and he just wasn't big enough to, like, influence the game that way.
And guys just aren't as willing to physically engage with him. Like, you see the guys starting to realize.
They can't, but there's like, they get that sound in the cartoons when you hit steel. You
know? What's the sound? Do the sound.
Dong. That's what they're getting right now.
That's good. Yeah.
I love the kid, man. His improvement, even through this match of the season, has been stunning to me. He's gotten better every single game. Like, I
got a couple extra stats for you. He is tied for the team lead in hits.
Mm-hmm.
He is tied for... Oh, here, I've got all my actual stats here. Let me just read them to you. This is great radio, I know. Yep. In expected goals in the NHL, he's tied for 17th. Inner slot shots, he's tied for 8th. Rebound chances tied for 25th. That's among all players in the NHL.
Really?
He's like, you know, in that upper echelon of creating chances at the net. So
wow.
43rd in puck battle wins, 40th in rebounds recovered.
Okay, not for me and Sammy to beat up on you again.
What's happening?
But there is a chance if Joseph Woll plays last night, the Leafs lose.
I think so.
Yeah.
I do, too.
Yeah. Well, in my defense, I said in every one of those conversations, Stolarz is better.
You did.
I said he gives you a better chance to win. There's no denying that the better goalie was in, and he was unbelievable last
like,
night.
Like,
elite goaltending.
He made that cross-crease save on the 3-on-1, mm-hmm. and then gets across on Koepke. He was unbelievable last
night. And how tough are NHL goalies? He takes a heater in the sweet spot from Pastrnak in his throat area.
Broken collarbone.
Oh, my God.
Right away, I thought.
Here comes the Hilda Beast.
Oh, my love for Anthony Stolarz flashed before my eyes there, but
the calmness and the presence mm-hmm. for a big man doesn't ever seem to lose his net. And there's a big part of a goaltender's game today is just to play the percentages and you hope that the puck hits you. He's got that, but it's not. He's not relying on it completely.
There still is battles.
There's a level of battle. There's a level of athleticism, and he's just got the perfect temperament right now to be as good as any goalie in the world.
And while we're heaping praise on him, was it Samsonov last year who was always sort of hurt? Like, you get clipped and you're shaking something out, skating to the corner and showing you that something was
this
off.
This is a staple of Leafs talk, me whining about him being a faker.
Right.
Like, where he always had, like, one faker moment that you're like,
but oh, every single game, it was...
No sign of him getting stung by Pasternak's shot either.
A bomb in the collarbone. And like he was like, let me just...
Over.
Yeah. Didn't see it
no
again all
signs
game.
Of it after that.
No, I'm...
Well, let's listen to the coach. Okay, Craig Berube in clip two there on Stolarz exceeding expectations.
Or it succeeded your expectations?
No, I don't think so. I think that going back to last year, his season he had, if you look at his numbers, 29 games I think he played and played extremely well. You know, he's been around a while. He's really learned how to be a real good goalie, understand what he needs to do in net to be successful. And, you know, he's shown it now. Like, I think, though, but he showed it all last year, too.
Did he say no?
Didn't exceed his expectations.
Liar, pants on fire.
Oh, I'm sorry. You expected him to be the best goalie in the league?
Yeah.
Or at least in the conversation of. He's top five in save percentage now.
Yep.
Yeah, so you come back with him on Friday, and then you go to Joseph Woll on Saturday versus Montreal.
I can't imagine digging in on this again, so let's do it.
and next week, there's another back-to-back as well. I think it's Tuesday,
so
Wednesday.
Woll's going to get a couple starts in the next
week. So then, it's Tuesday, Wednesday.
Lots of time for Joseph to get going, but you just can't pull him away as early as Friday when there's a lot of synergies going for him personally, but there's a build of trust going on right now, and you hope that it can carry the whole season. Mm-hmm. And if we've played on enough teams to know that, like, I believe in that guy. You, I'm not so sure. Right. You don't know. You don't say it. You don't mention it in a large group on your team. Maybe you mention it to somebody,
one, or two.
One of your closer buddies on the bus over beers.
Yeah.
But that's the only position. I've said this before. That's the only position where you're like, if I don't trust that guy, it's over for us. And he's building it right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This is like a big Atlantic Division stretch, too. They beat the Bruins last night. You get Detroit on Friday. Then you get Montreal Saturday. Then Ottawa Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're trying to stuff these teams down to the lower half of the Atlantic if you can. Boston looked exactly like what we talked about going into that game. Like, their records were very close before puck drop last night, but...
Not even close on forechecking. Pasternak and Marchand, not much room.
I thought Marchand was noticeable last night. Thought he was in the mix.
Yeah.
Like, he had some mix. He had some jump, and he was...
Better than what we've probably seen out of him early.
For sure. Still not great.
Pasternak, to me...
No confidence.
No confidence. I don't even think he had the puck an awful lot.
No.
And, you know, Mitch was out there against them a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Mitch has got it going right now.
Big time.
He handles the puck. And when he's not handling the puck, he's in great position to defend. Like, he's got a really good 200-foot game going right now.
There's no doubt about that. It was a quiet night from Boston in general. What really kind of showed to me what changed things for the Bruins. So Pacioretty throws that hit on Peak. And all of a sudden, you know, they end up on the power play after that.
Because they went to the 5-minute review.
But Zadorov tried to get revenge on it after that. And he took the penalty on Pacioretty next time out.
And
even that, to me, felt passive.
Three cross checks. Like, Zadorov was hammering him, too.
Yeah, no, it probably was a couple of penalties
there. Yes, there was a couple of penalties there.
But all of that didn't feel like the old Bruins. Like, they took a minor on Pacioretty after that and then put the Leafs on the power play and the Leafs scored. And it just felt like... The Bruins are usually on the other end of these exchanges, throwing the hit first, bad retaliation.
There's so many signs that Jim Montgomery's feeling the pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what you got from last night?
Really feeling the pressure.
Yeah.
And I can't I can't see the Bruins winning one, losing one much longer.
I didn't know his contract up after this year. Like, he doesn't even have next year.
Yeah.
And deal. That's,
you know how I feel. Like, you want to send Pasternak a message, you want to bench him a couple of shifts.
You better get a response.
But you want to take him out the whole period like that to send a message?
And then have him be...
Imagine if the coach sat Marner. Imagine if they sat Marner for one period, what you'd come on here.
Calculated risk.
Yeah.
That doesn't usually end well for those coaches against players like that.
You needed him to be dynamic last night to show the management that your benching worked, and he was the opposite of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they
a little love to Pacioretty too. Continues to hit like a truck.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's a big guy, but the willingness now to go hurt people.
Yeah.
Like, I really like.
You like the hurting?
Me too, man.
Yeah, I do.
I didn't know that was a clean way.
Yeah. Yeah, that hit on peak, out of the game.
That hit on peak was straight
right?
up. It was fine.
Yeah.
But.
A little about the ice.
For today, tomorrow, I don't know a guy who's 35 years old what it's going to look like in January, February, or March, or April, May, but take it. Take it for everything it's worth right now.
Yeah.
So yeah. While we're on the physical stuff, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on the Tanev play. And where, I think, were they on the penalty kill that time? I don't know, or they weren't, but...
Yeah, the hit from behind?
Passed it back.
Like, what? How do you stop that play in hockey? Because to me, Tanev has not done one dirty thing all year. I haven't like watched him his whole career. He's not a dirty player. He's physical, plays it like, you know, he'll give you what you need.
Yeah.
But he's going in to lay a very clean body check, a shoulder to shoulder thing, and he turns at the exact millisecond before and he hammers him. You see that happen a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way to do anything about that? Like, I hate it.
I think you always run the risk of a charge.
For sure.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was the call.
It was a board.
Boarding and then he or
got
charging.
And then he got a rough for being...
I'm not...
Headlocked.
I would guess that come March or April, in the playoffs, no call. No call. So I'm not overly concerned about that getting called all the time. I think there's been more of a forgiveness for the aggressor on that play.
Because it's impossible.
Well, it is, Sam, but you can't be reckless and you kind of have to contain a little bit in case there's a cutback. Now, that said,
yeah.
I have no problem with it. Like, Pasternak definitely puts himself in a bad spot there. And so I think they're both, it's like, all right, Pasternak kind of put him in a bad spot and Tanev maybe could have been a little bit more passive.
Yeah, like the grab, the bear hug a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit like that. But I'm
sure he wanted to let him know he was there.
I didn't think
he
was over
the penalty also is... A reminder to
somebody, don't do that.
Somebody can really get hurt
big
here,
time.
Guys.
Yes.
So let's just be careful. I'll only give you a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah.
And it's less about the penalty, but more so about, you know, let's be conscientious that like broken necks can happen in a heartbeat.
Well, what kills me more than that one is like guys will often show their back as a defense mechanism, a move that basically says, now you can't hit
me.
So they'll have the puck on the boards and they'll turn their back to a guy. It's like, now you can't hit me because you see my back. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's putting yourself at a major risk.
You're putting a lot of trust in the guy that's trying to bury you.
Absolutely. And I didn't think that was the case from Pasternak last night.
Another thing I wanted to ask you guys about, the Reeves and Montgomery thing. Did you see that? Them yelling at each other from the bench? Like, there was, at the start of the second period, Reeves and Montgomery were yelling at each other. I don't know if you saw that.
Was that over the hit by then?
No, it was like at the start of the second period.
The Pacioretty hit?
Maybe.
Probably guys yelling at Pacioretty from Boston's bench.
Yeah.
And then I'm guessing Reeves saying to those guys, just so you know, if anything happens to him, whatever.
And then they had an exchange with Montgomery. I don't remember seeing a lot of player coach altercations.
It's also not good from a coach. You don't want to be in there with your
Does that happen a lot?
The late Brian Murray in Washington, he used to go after guys on the other team. And I'm like... You're getting him upset.
You know who's like,
got to go out there.
I got to cash that check you're writing right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, I just wanted to get your thought on that.
Did I ever tell you the time Kenny Linsman, like Washington used to, the opponents used to have to come from the Zamboni entrance and then, it was us who had to go through, the coaches had to go through the Zamboni on the ice to the bench.
Yeah.
There was no entrance behind the bench. And then I guess he was giving it to Kenny Linsman in the first period. Kenny Linsman when Brian Murray was walking on the ice, slashed him right in the back of the knee.
No.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And all I heard was a yelp.
Incredible.
I love it.
Yes.
2 minutes for slashing the coach.
And we're like, well, what do we do?
Yeah, that's a weird
we're
one.
Like, pretend we didn't see it. That's
yeah,
what we're going to do.
That's the right answer.
Maybe Reeves will fight Montgomery. That'll be his first one of the year.
One of my, has he not fought this year?
Nope.
Wow. One of my favorite quotes to come out of last night, Nylander after mm-hmm. the game, where, you know, they haven't beat Boston, was it 2 years?
Eight games.
Boston's a big opponent. They lose in game 7 of Boston last year. Like, mm-hmm. this is a big rivalry. Let's yeah. listen to what Willie Nylander had to say in clip 1 on beating Boston.
How big are wins over Boston, I guess?
Like, it's regular season. It's just one win. It's a win.
Not a big deal. Right? It's regular season. It's one win. We didn't win anything here.
That damn fan.
Yeah.
Right under the damn fan again. I got to talk to Leafs PR. Move it. It's right under the fan.
It's a better quote than the one he had against St. Louis on what do you know about St. Louis? He's like, nothing. I know nothing.
Right?
I don't know. I don't really know them. Oh, okay.
It is. At least it's almost disrespectful to Boston, the quote, and I like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Me too.
It's like, we're not going to get too worked up over beating them right now.
One more positive for me watching the Leafs last night. Timmins.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I know.
It's come a long way.
I'm blown away.
And the one thing with guys like him or Liljegren when he was here is limit your mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's all. And he's done that. It's not about what you do that stands out. It's about the mistakes that you don't make. And right now he's in that window where he's not the first guy you're thinking of, but if you focus on it long enough, you'll notice that he's often making the right play, the safe play, and the right pass mm-hmm. out of his own zone.
Yep.
And that's a far cry from where he's come from. And now it's like, I'm not taking him out of the lineup.
No, but over 17 minutes last night. You know, we know that he has upside. I think he skates really well, and he's a big guy. Like, mm-hmm. he's just never played any consistent hockey in the NHL because of injuries and mono and all sorts of weird things. It would be really great development for them if this guy ended up being a decent third pair guy. I do think he has a ways to go before you say, in playoffs, can he physically be our third pair PK?
That's what 72 games still left to go is going to do for you.
Love to see him play most of those.
He's a great example of taking advantage of a fresh set of eyes, right? Where he fell out of favor with Keefe. He was hurt. He barely played with Keefe. And then, you know, new coach comes in, limits. He's been a little bit physical, and he's limited the mistakes, and he's just taking advantage of it.
He's more physical than Liljegren. Yep. He can make a breakout pass just the same as Liljegren. I'd argue he skates better, and he definitely has better offensive instincts.
And he's 1.1 this year, and it is a RFA. When he expires at the end of this year, he's still an RFA. Yeah. So. Guy in the organization for a while.
I am curious how they're going to work out getting Hakanpää into the lineup.
Are we talking about Saturday for him or Friday maybe?
The Marlies still have 2 games this weekend, so he's still eligible to play.
Okay.
And they can keep him down, I think, through the weekend because it was 3 AHL games.
But if we only get 25 games out of those knees, do we want to spend them in the minors?
It's like the pitcher where it's like, are we sure we want to use these 100-mile-an-hour bullets in the minors? So
that'll be interesting how they kind of juggle that scenario.
Now, there's a bunch of praise for Nylander from Berube last night. I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. Let's listen to that. Berube clip 5, please.
Well, he's being Willie. Scores goals. I mean, he's a dynamic player. I mean, he's one of those offensive guys that, you know, the puck goes to him. He knows where the puck's going. He's got a great shot. We all know that. He's got, you know, skill level is off the charts, and but he's, you know, he's playing a good game, like, all around. Like, he's not just thinking about offense. He's been very good defensively and being in the right spots and doing the right things defensively, which is good.
Oh, are we going to beat the crap out of that? He's being Willie.
He actually he tried to have fun with the media there.
Yes. He was excited.
I think you're right.
He was kind of being lighthearted there for a second.
Do you think that he's really starting to like William Nylander potentially?
Maybe. That'd be
scores goals.
I don't know if any coach will ever completely.
They're going to be frustrated.
It'll be a hopefully more hot than cold take it's on, so funny. On Willie.
Like, Willie leads the NHL in goals. It's like,
well, he's tied with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, he's tied with four other guys. Kucherov, Caulfield, Reinhart, and Hischier.
Hischier, Cole Caulfield.
But, you know, you're talking about how hot Kyle Connor's been, Draisaitl. Ahead of those guys.
Yep. Banked one in last night, made a hilarious face. He's that picture of his face after he scored.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
When he's gone, right?
That's it.
He certainly is gone.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we return, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Brad May will join us. A man that would fight his mom to win the Stanley Cup. Mayday after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Now let's welcome in our first guest, Brad May, former National Hockey Leaguer. Over 1,000 games played. And what stands out maybe a little bit more is the 2,248 penalty minutes. Mayday, how are you, pal?
I'm doing great, guys. Nick, always good to see you. Oh. Justin, thanks for having me on.
Hey, I would imagine over your illustrious career, you wouldn't have had any problem playing for a coach like Craig Berube.
I would have loved to. Of course, Craig Berube, his record as a player and, of course, as a coach, he's done everything that it takes to get to this level, to become the head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. Stanley Cup in his pedigree as a coach of St. Louis. But you know it, Nick, that he's one of the toughest hombres out there when he played. And we all know the game's changed. But that character that he has stepping up and taking the blows for his teammates as a player, you'll start seeing him do that as a coach as well. I think he'll protect his players when it's warranted, but he's also a character guy in the sense that hard work is expected. It's not special. Every player should work hard, and anybody that has an excuse, excuses are for losers, and I'd expect Craig Berube would come down hard on that.
Brad, the Leafs have a guy in Bobby McMahon who's a big guy who skates fast and can hit people, but he probably doesn't want to do that. That's probably not the first thing he wants to do, and Berube's been leaning on him to be that player. Have you seen players in your time around the league where the coach is asking them to be something that they don't want to be, and how do those things usually play out?
You know what? It happens all the time. And the thing is, that's where players have to understand. If you're Bobby McMahon, figure it out. First of all, I was at a game when he scored 2 goals earlier in the season. What a fun guy. He's got a great aura about him. Seems his teammates love him. The fans really enjoy Bobby McMahon and his personality. But put on a different hat, Bobby, when you get a chance. If you do that, you heard Matthew Knies speak about, playing with the skilled players. Well, we'd all think that Matthew Knies is a skilled player, but he doesn't see himself that way. Trying to wear a different hat, maybe force himself into a different role. A big body in the middle of the ice, stick on the ice, the best players are going to find him. I think Bobby's a young guy. He's exciting. I don't think he's going to have a problem, but it's the National Hockey League. Do whatever it takes to stay. And once you're there, then you can actually, manipulate your ice time a little bit by being a better player and showing the coach that you're trustworthy. But I like Bobby McMahon. I think he's going to be in the lineup. He's a nightly guy for me. And it's the depth of the Toronto Maple Leafs. We keep talking about it. That might be the Achilles heel, but I like their makeup. I think Toronto, although they haven't had the greatest start, they're still this team is my favorite team in the last 7 or 8 years that I've watched.
That old saying, you got the tools, but do you have the toolbox? Mm-hmm. And, for some, the things that you just mentioned can come a lot more naturally. We had a chance to golf a couple weekends ago with Sammy, you and your dad, and I cherish the 19th hole. Well, we got rained out a little bit, so it was the 13th hole where we got to reminisce on stories and just to listen to you revisit your your path to the NHL and the battles that you had and whether or not you developed that side of you that would come out and fight when you had to, or battle, or look another guy in the eye, or just hang in there in a scrum. Can you teach that? Is it just ultimately part of your makeup, or it isn't?
It's a great question, Nick. I'd like to think that every player, you know, it's an easy decision or choice to just put on a different hat, like I just spoke of. Obviously, it's in your DNA. That's where scouting comes into it. The character of the player, where has he played? Where has he come from? What kind of system has he played? How has he changed his game? Does he block shots? Does he kill penalties? Is he an offensive player that's soft? Is he an offensive player that he gets his offense by driving the net and creating havoc? I mean, all these factors. For me, and Nick, you and I were talking about our path to the National Hockey League. It was a different game. The one element that you and I both had was the ability to fight and to stick up for your teammates and obviously be a robust, rambunctious player. But for me, it was being a roommate to Pat LaFontaine, to, you know, the captain of our team, Hall of Famer, being marinating in his life, listening to him, Dale Hawerchuk, Dave Anderchuk, Randy Hillier, Colin Patterson. These guys were all 30 years old and I was 19. Having the ability, and I think maybe the greatest gift was the gift of listening and just absorbing, you know, the greatness or certainly the experience of those older players. My question to you, Nick, Justin, across the NHL, because of the salary cap and the disparity of ages and really going to a younger lineup, these players may not have, you know, that leadership, those role models to follow. Like I certainly did. And I promise you, I left out 7 or 8 other names on that Buffalo Sabre team. Not because I wanted to, it's just there's too many guys to name. I was so fortunate to come into the league with great veteran players. Now we didn't end up being a great hockey team. We had games that we played well. We didn't win any championships, but my tutelage with those guys, I got to play 19 years and I honestly wouldn't have done it if I didn't have that leadership that I could have, you know, extracted.
Mine was Tim Kerr. The great goal scorer for the Philadelphia Flyers. He scored 62 goals in the NHL, never drafted. And he told me, find ways to hang in there. Okay. And if you're ever going to be a goal scorer in the National Hockey League, like you were in junior, it would surface. But if it doesn't, then find other ways to make yourself valuable to the hockey club. And I took it right away and I ran with it. But, you know, you're right. Who's in that room right now that could talk to a Bobby McMahon right now and tell him, you know, here's an opportunity. There's another opportunity. Find it until you go back to putting the puck in the net.
In so many ways, you know, because of the salary cap, the best players on your team are in so many ways are the older players, the oldest players. Those are the guys that actually have the long-term contracts where the real character, different character, of course, but those players, they're not in the league anymore. They don't hang around. You used to be, you didn't get your contract until you're 28 or 30 years old. You know, this is 25, 30 years ago I'm speaking, but that's when those players were rewarded. They stuck around and they were able to impart their experience and knowledge on players like Matthew Knies and Bobby McMahon and others. It's a different league. Now, here's the deal. You got to figure out the landscape. And if you're Bobby, listen to guys like Nick and I, not that we know what we're talking about, but I can tell you this. Just listen to our experience. Listen to other guys, Wendell Clark, Darcy Tucker, they're ambassadors to the game. Invite these older players around. Ask questions. If I was a young player, that's what I was told to do. And I did that. I went into New York. I'll give you a great story. Bobby Nystrom was in the building, was in Nassau Coliseum. I was going into a game. I was afraid for whatever reason. Dave Maley had a big handlebar mustache, and we played him the night before, and he was intimidating looking. He was a lefty, and I went into that game, honestly, with trepidations, thinking that Dave Maley's going to knock me out. And I somehow found Eddie Westfall and Bob Nystrom, two great Islanders. And I asked them as a young man, I said, you know, can I have a moment of your time? And these great players, honestly, you know what they want to do? They want to impart their experience on others, the younger guys in the game. And they both took 5 minutes with me and it made a huge difference. So much so that I remember the moment, how I felt, and it's 33 years later from that time. And I still remember it. And I value those men that gave me a few minutes to kind of tell a story, and it made me feel more comfortable.
It's funny, I've heard several variations of Bobby Nystrom helping people out. I know Clark Gillies, one of his all-time stories is about Bobby Nystrom talking him into fighting Ben Wilson for a second time, you know, and feeling unwell before the game, but working through that. So then, you know, I hear you guys talk about playing a different role than you played in junior to stay in the league, to earn the money, be in the NHL, whatever. Do you ever have moments now where you look back at your career, having won Stanley Cups, both of you, and played for years in the league, where you go, I wish I had tried to play a little bit more offensively. I wish I had tried to handle the puck. Yeah, you scored, what, 40 goals in junior 1 year, Brad? You scored 60. Yeah. Do you ever have moments where you're like, God, I could have made some more money if I just scored a bit more?
Brad, I'll go first, and I'll be real quick. I did, and it didn't work.
All right, so at least you tested the theory.
You know what, Nick and Justin, there's no question. Of course, we all think like that. What if I did it this way? What if I did it a different way? Do you know what? You can shove what ifs, you know where. There is a saying and I can't remember right now. But you can't second guess yourself. There's no dress rehearsal in this life. Wake up. I'll tell you what, you want to have a bad day, act like a jackass, go ahead. But you just wasted valuable moments. The only commodity that's most important to all of us is time, and make the most of the time you have. And honestly, why not spend that time learning and being positive and optimistic? And if you have issues, address them, challenge yourself, learn more, and get in the gym and work harder. For all you young athletes out there that are possibly watching, you know what? You have an opportunity. Tell you what, your buddies are not going to put in the work ethic and the work that you're going to do today. You outwork them today, outwork them tomorrow. In a few weeks, you're going to be ahead. And when they're sleeping, you're getting ahead. So that's my advice. And I was so lucky. Again, I got all this stuff. I didn't just fall into it. I was in an environment in Buffalo with some of the greatest characters and people to this day in my life.
Can I take a crack at that saying that didn't come to you?
Yes.
Crushers that think they're rushers end up ushers.
That's a good one, Nick. That wasn't it. It was like something if something about what ifs and a bowl full of nuts.
If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, every day would be Christmas. My junior coach.
There you go.
Ifs and buts.
You know what? If we Mayday, if we kind of bring this back to the Toronto Maple Leafs, it looks like Berube has some sort of secret sauce right now. When the Leafs are on, can work and can look awfully like something that would be successful in the playoffs. And then there's other instances that we've seen this year where it looks completely off. But is this part of just learning to be consistent with a system? And ultimately, do you believe that these Leafs can play much like they played last night against Boston, or how they played a few weeks back against Tampa Bay? Or will this continue to be live and learn throughout the regular season?
You know what? You look across the league, the Boston Bruins, the struggles that they had, David Pastrnak sat out in the third period. You would think that Boston would come in ugly. They tried to rough it up in Toronto, but Toronto, you know, outplayed them. The two games I've been at in the building, I was there last night. I was also there against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which I think was the best game the Leafs have played this season. Fantastic team. You look across the league with all the distractions in the world, cell phones, technology, and just access to information, socially, everything else. I think this is an issue across the league and in professional sports. You even look at the NFL, good teams, you know, they show up and they, you know, with a mediocre performance at times. I'm not sure if this is an all season thing. I think this is a real character check. I think the teams that figure it out will definitely advance and move ahead throughout the season. I'm not at all in a panic mode for the Toronto Maple Leafs. There is a new coach, a new system. The players are trying to figure it out. Obviously, your top player, Austin Matthews, has an undisclosed injury that, you know, we don't know what it is, but it's obviously hampered him a little bit. I'm not worried at all. Toronto's right there. They're going to be, I'll go down right now. They're going to finish first place, certainly in their division, maybe even in the Eastern Conference. And we'll see what happens come playoffs, but there's so much that's going to happen, but the world is distracting, the distractions around all of us, but heaven forbid these young players that, you know, are expected to be on at all times. Maybe put your device down and think about the game.
Yes, sir.
And mimic being a player and stop doing all these other things that your friends that aren't players are doing. That would be my advice.
Wow. Great stuff, Mayday. I love our conversations, man. Say hi to your dad.
I enjoy it, guys. I enjoy it.
Say hi to Ken for us, okay?
Hey, listen, we played golf. My father, Ken, he absolutely loved it. Sammy, you're welcome back anytime. Justin, you have
yes,
to come with
baby.
Us.
I would love to. I met your dad at the member guest there. He's a great man.
He's a fantastic man. And of course he loves Nick and, he really, really enjoyed that day and he'd love to host us again.
Sam's just going free golf, free golf, free golf, free golf.
No, it's time. So it was Mayday.
Sammy, it's 250 ahead.
All right. Awesome stuff, Mayday. Thanks for joining us, pal.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Hey, have a great night.
See you. What a great conversation.
Yeah.
Just over on just, you know, that next level of still needing to be tough, still. Mm-hmm. And I do buy into that certain guys, and maybe it's still McMahon, that you fake it until you make it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, the fighting isn't what it used to be, so you don't have to worry about that so much. But you do have to finish your checks and stay into scrums and get into, yeah. you know, FU contest sometimes in a pile.
You know, Zach Hyman didn't make the NHL because he was going to be a 50-goal scorer. He made it because he was a forechecker. He went in on pucks, yeah. got his stick in first, yeah. separated the D-man from it, and ran yeah. into him. And they went, God, every time we put him out there, he's a good forechecker. What if we put him with good players so they can have the puck more? All of a sudden, you get points and opportunities and grow it from there.
Quickly, before we go, I got a tweet here. And I'm going solely off of this. This is from Leafs Loyalist about the altercation between
Montgomery and Reeves.
Hey, Sammy, I was at the game. I've got the info on the Reeves-Monty scrap. Reeves and Zadorov were on the red line screaming in each other's faces. Zadorov had his gloves off, pointing in Reeves' face, then pointing to somewhere on the ice. Monty got involved, and it was a warning from the ref. So maybe Zadorov was trying to fight him, and Reeves wasn't going to fight
him. Max Holloway just pointing at center. Bring it to the middle of the ring.
So there you go.
Okay.
Thanks, Leaf Loyalist. Appreciate
Thanks.
That.
We knew it was something.
Yeah, but that's a pretty good breakdown.
People were mad about things.
Yeah, I would like.
Very helpful.
It would have been good if. That'd be a good trade-off.
That would be fun to see, too.
Yeah.
Mayday mentioned this guy, Dave Mailey.
Yeah.
I fought him in New Jersey. He hit me square on my left eye. Mm. I played half the game. I only played with one eye. I thought I was blind.
Really?
Yeah.
You're scared?
Very scared. And then it just came back after the game.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure no lasting repercussions.
I'm like, this guy, and he was a lefty.
Yeah.
And
then 30 years later, you're not sure where your car keys are.
But I can see.
Sure can.
Out of two eyes.
You look great.
Thank God. Our thanks to Brad May. That was one quick hour on our Leaf edition. Next hour, we go national. We'll welcome in Dan Murphy, host of Hockey Night in Canada, Canucks Hockey. We'll get the goods on the Vancouver Canucks. Great on the road
mm-hmm.
as they continue their journey through California. Plenty to get to still on our national hour. Don't go away, anybody.